Let's pray. Father, we thank you and bless you for today. We pray now that everything that we do and everything that we say will be pleasing in your sight, that it will bring glory and honor to you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable, for you are my strength and my redeemer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you have looked for something and no matter how hard you look, no matter how much stuff you tore up, you couldn't find it anywhere? Anybody raise your hand? Yeah, I've had that happen on several occasions. I remember looking for something and I couldn't find it. I swore I knew where it was. I couldn't find it, and I don't know about you, but when I start looking for something and I can't find it, next thing I start thinking is somebody must have stole it. Now, I don't know what somebody's going to want with that thing, but listen, somebody must have stole it because I can't find it anywhere. Now, my brothers and sisters, here's what I've learned. There are some things in life that you just don't want to lose. So let me give you the top seven things that I discovered you don't want to lose. First, your children. Unless they're grown, you might want to lose them then, right? No. You typically, though, you don't want to lose your children. Second thing, and these are not in any order of importance or significance, your wallet or your purse, right? You won't keep up with your wallet or your purse. Your keys. You won't keep up with your keys. Need your keys. Your telephone. Some of you are attached to your telephone by an electrical umbilical cord. You don't know how to function without your telephone, right? If you have pets, your fur children, right? Some people, you know, feel really, really strong about those children. I got to tell you this story. So my grandmother was born in Alabama, and she had a little chihuahua named Pee-wee. And my grandmother, this is my father's mother, she was real special. So like on a holiday like today, you know you had to call her early. Because if you didn't catch her early, you know, she'd be celebrating, and then you couldn't understand a word she was saying if you called her later in the day, if y'all catch my drift, right? So you had to catch her early, right? So I called my grandmother on one occasion. I said, "Grandma, how you doing?" She said, "Oh, I'm doing fine, baby. I'm doing good." I said, "What you been up to?" She said, "Oh, I just went fishing." She said, "And me and Pee-wee went fishing. We were the only two colored people down there." Now, Pee-wee is the dog. So I'm sitting there going, I did not know we were assigning ethnicity now to dogs, right? It was the only two colored people down there. Yeah, she was serious about that dog, though, man. Sixth thing you don't want to lose are your eyeglasses, especially when you need them to see. Because if you lose your glasses and you need your glasses to see, then you can't see how to find them because you don't have your glasses, right? Actually, I've gotten so bad now, I have two pair of glasses, and then I got another pair of old glasses that I keep someplace just so I know where to find them. If I lose my glasses and can't see, I can at least see my glasses with those old glasses. I can't read with them, but I can at least see enough to find my glasses when I lose them, right? The other thing you don't want to lose is yourself. Like, you don't want to be lost, right? And, you know, that can happen very easily. And so you want to make sure you keep track of where you are and what you need to do. Now, here's something I've learned. It's a basic principle, basic lesson of life. I mean, it's mind-blowing. It is so deep that I don't think you can live life without learning this rule, all right? Are you ready? Get ready. Here it is. I'm about to drop it on you. I don't care how hard you look. Here it is. You will never find the item if you don't look where it is. Right? Like, I don't care how hard you look, up and down, tear the furniture up, look in the cushions. If you don't look where the item is, you will never find it. Now, somebody said, why is that important? It's important because there are many of you in here who are searching for something today. Whether you admit it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not, whether you're even conscious of it or not, you are looking for something today. You're looking for happiness. You're looking for peace of mind. You're looking for companionship. You're looking for money. You're looking for something that you believe is going to add value to your life. Here's what I've learned. You're never going to find it if you're looking for the wrong thing in the wrong place. I'm not talking about the object. I'm talking about the peace of mind. You'll never find what you're looking for when you look for the wrong thing in the right place. And some of you are looking for the right thing, but you're looking in the wrong place. And so you will never find it. In our text today, this resurrection story focuses on women who go to the tomb to find Jesus. They are doing what they are commissioned to do, what they feel compelled to do. They're coming to anoint the body with spices, and the Bible says they get to the tomb and there is no Jesus there. The stone has been rolled away. And they get a word from two angels. I want to talk today from the thought, how to find what you really need in life. How to find what you really need in life. Some of you have been looking a long time, still haven't found it. Some of you may be just starting the search. And if you're just starting the search, maybe I can save you some hardships and some heartaches as you begin to look for what you really need in life. Here's the first thing. Number one, you need to realize everybody is looking for something meaningful in life, including you. Everyone is looking for something meaningful in life, including you. Verse 1, Luke chapter 24, if you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need one, the ushers will get one to you. Just raise your hand. Verse 1, but very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. I told you these women went to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus with spices. They went looking for a dead body. And they were in the right place in a cemetery to find a dead body, but they didn't find what they were looking for. Because Jesus was no longer dead, he had arisen. Let me ask you a question. What are most people looking for in life? What are you looking for in life? Depending on the hurts, habits, or hang-ups of the past, the pain of your present, or the dashed hopes for the future, many people are looking for a variety of things. Let me give you at least four things that I found a lot of people are looking for in life and see if you agree, see if you can check off any of these and find them on your list. Many people are looking for, A, the need for love. The need for love. They're looking for love. And many times, as the old song would say, we're looking for love in all the wrong places. We're looking for love. You remember that scene in Coming to America? When Eddie Murphy, who plays Prince Hakeem and several other characters, says, where do you find a good woman? And Eddie Murphy, who's playing the barber, says, well, wait, where are you going? And he says, well, I went to the bars, I went to the club. Yeah, oh, that's the problem. You're going to the wrong place, son. If you want to find a good woman, you don't go to the club, you go to church. Because he was looking for the right thing, but not in the right place. He was looking for love. And the problem is many of us are looking for love, but we're going about getting it the wrong way. Let me see if I can put a cord in the median park here for somebody. You see, many times we use love as not something we feel, but a commodity to be exchanged. And we exchange love to get what we want. Or we have a goal to get love, and so we'll give whatever it takes to get love. Let's take men and women. Men give love to get sex. So we give love. Presents, dinner, flowers, kind words, poetry, sing. Because we've given all kinds of love. Because we know love is how we get what we want. Women want love. So what women do to get love is give sex. Because if I'm getting love and I want love, then I give what you want to get what you've been given me. And the problem is the two intersect at intercourse. But they go on divergent paths afterwards. So women, after sex, complain that they don't get the love they used to get. And men complain that after they gave the love and got the sex, now they don't get the sex they used to get. And nobody is feeling fulfilled because we gave what we gave to get what we wanted, but we didn't keep getting because the other person didn't keep giving. Y'all are real quiet on me there. Here's the point. The point is, all of us want and look for love. We want that support. We want that feeling. B, people have the need to belong. They want to belong. They want to belong. They want to be part of a group. Identify myself with a group. I want to belong. Folk on the street call it a gang. They call it a crew. Folk on a college campus call it a fraternity, a sorority. Same need, just expressed in a different way. I joined a fraternal order, society, Masons, other groups, because I want to belong. I want to be part of a group. And we want to be part of a family. And the tragedy is, for many of us, our families by birth are so dysfunctional. Sometimes we don't even want to be associated with them, and we got the same name. We want to belong. C, we want value and purpose. We look for value and purpose. I want my life to count. I want it to mean something. Especially on the other side of the pandemic, when a lot of people found out that the money that they had, the resources that they had, the car that they drove, the home that they lived in, none of that stuff mattered. None of that exempted them from going through and experiencing what they experienced going through in COVID. And so now they say, hey, I'm looking for value. I'm looking for purpose in my life. I want my life to matter. I want my life to count. D, the need for peace. A lot of people are searching for peace, y'all. I want to stick my key in the door. I just want peace on the other side of the door. Matter of fact, if I can't have my peace, you keep your peace. I just want some peace. I want peace. I want peace. And here's the problem. Most of us, when we think about peace, we think about the absence of chaos or confusion or conflict. So we want to remove as much of that from our life as possible so we can have some semblance of peace. And depending on the emotional, mental, and spiritual scars you have and the dysfunction you live in, it's hard to find any of those four things. And here's the truth. We've been searching. We've been looking for it. Where have you looked for those things? Where have you looked for peace, value, and purpose, belonging and love? How have you tried to find it? Man, we do all kinds of stuff to try to find it. We turn to pharmaceuticals, drugs, turn to alcohol. Some of us turn to retail therapy because you feel great while you're shopping and you're trying on stuff. The problem is you feel bad when the bill comes. And you got a closet full of stuff. You know when you're addicted to retail therapy, when you go to the closet and you have a bunch of clothes in there with the tag still on it. Because you get a rush of endorphins and you feel good when you go shopping and when you go to buy stuff. Here's the truth of the matter. Even those things that bring you temporary relief will not bring you the extended happiness, peace, and joy that you are looking for in life. Because you cannot achieve those things by what you acquire on the outside. You've got to achieve what you're looking for by developing who you are on the inside. Here's the second thing. Number two, if you're going to find what you really need in life, you must realize looking for the right thing does not matter if you're looking in the wrong place. Looking for the right thing does not matter if you're looking in the wrong place. The women were terrified, verse 5, and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead." They were at the grave with the best of intentions. They were looking for Jesus, but the angel said, "Why are you looking amongst the dead for that which is alive?" Lord have mercy. I need to put a quarter in the meter and park right there for a second, because somebody in here needs to know, when you're looking amongst the dead, you cannot find what you want to give you life. When you're looking amongst the dead, how are you going to find what you need to live? You can't do it. You've been looking for satisfaction in temporary stuff, trying to compensate for what's missing in your life by accumulating to the best of your ability cars, cash, commodities, clothes, creature comforts, and the like. New apartment, new house, and still empty inside. Go out, hang out with your friends, smiling while they're around, to go home still miserable inside. The angel says, "You're in the wrong place. You looking in a dead place for something that's going to give you life." And somebody in here, you got to check out not what you're looking for, but where you've been looking. Look at Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also." Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Basically, here's what he says. Jesus says, you can't look where dead stuff is and find life. And if you are looking for things, according to Matthew chapter 6, and those things can be eaten, stolen, or destroyed, then you're trying to build a permanent satisfaction on a temporary good. Think about it for a minute. If my happiness is in my car and somebody steals my car, what happens to my happiness? If my peace of mind is built on my house and the house catches on fire and burns down, what happens to my peace of mind? So when you see people who lose everything and they say, "I don't know what I'm going to do. I've lost everything. My entire life." Sometimes people say that and they mean that literally. What do you do? Jesus says you should never build your life on what moth can eat, rust can corrupt, or thieves can steal. Because all of it, at best, brings you temporary satisfaction. Here's the third and final thing. Number three, you need to know you can only find what you need in life when you look in the right place. You can only find what you need in life when you look in the right place. Look at verse 6, Luke 24. "He isn't here." The angels are talking. "He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee." I want you to underline that word, remember. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Then they remembered that he had said this. Underline verse 8. Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. Now, here's what is important for you to get. If they had remembered what the Lord had told them, they wouldn't have been at the grave to try to anoint his body. They forgot what the Lord had told them. And because they forgot what God said, they behaved in the way they behaved. Some of y'all missed it. Let me see if I can help you. If you are a believer, I hear the Lord saying, do you remember what I told you? Because some of you started off your life with Jesus looking for the right thing in the right place, but you started slipping. And you started acting as if just because you were doing the looking and you were looking for the right thing, you could find it any place. So you looking for life in the midst of dead people. You trying to find satisfaction from dead people. And God says, what are you doing? Don't you remember what I told you? And if you're here today and you've never asked the Lord into your life, here's what God says. Stop wasting your time looking for the living among the dead. Requiring people to give to you what they don't have themselves. Demanding that somebody imports to you what they haven't exported to themselves. They can't give what they don't have. They can't give you life when all they know is death. He says, God has something for you. And you need to trust him. So my daughter is my oldest child. She's 40. And my daughter has been to more funerals for friends than I've been in my life. I was talking to her the other day. She was telling me she was having a tough time. And I said, what happened? She said, I was driving and I went past a friend's house. And I saw all of our friends at the house. She said, I didn't know what was going on. Nobody called me, said we was having a party or anything. And she said, when I got there, I spoke to everybody, said, what's going on? And I found out that our friend had apparently committed suicide. And she said, Dad, she said, I don't understand. And I said, what do you mean you don't understand? She said, he had everything. He had a car, he had a house. He had a job, he had a career, he had everything going for him. He was so nice. Why would he commit suicide? Last week, Dr. Willie Wilson was here as our guest, and at the 10 o'clock service, he asked, how many of you have ever thought about committing suicide, suicidal ideation? And the number of people that raised their hand was so shocking to those in the sanctuary that there was an audible gasp. It was like, oh, wow. Because here's what people don't understand. You can be in the right place here, but if you've been looking in the wrong place for the right or wrong thing out there, the dissatisfaction with life will cause you to miss the blessings that God has for you in your life. See, the truth of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, and especially those of you who are younger, and when I say younger, I mean millennials and younger, one of the things that you need to learn in life is to talk to somebody older who's been through some stuff. Because the stuff that you don't think you can live without, There's somebody older who can tell you, oh, you can live without that and a whole lot more, right? Stuff happens, man, and kids are, oh, man, they posting stuff, and they take their lives because of what people are posting online. Like, who cares, right? And people like their gossip and their mess like they like their bread fresh. Just keep on living. It'll die out eventually. There are people who thought their careers were over based on some scandal. Man, them folk are multimillionaires now. Household names. Because they didn't quit. Someone in here, you may have everything that you think or people deem to be successful. And people will tell you, you got it going on. But on the inside, you still feel like a failure. There's still an emptiness, a void in your life. And it's because the only way it can be filled and satisfied is with God. These women left. Brothers on the road to Emmaus came in contact with Jesus. And the void that was in their life was filled instantly because they remembered what Jesus said and met him on that road. Here's what you need to know. Look under number three. A, God can meet your need for love if you want real love, y'all. If you want real love. If you really want to be loved by God, God can meet your need for love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. 1 John 4:10, let's read it together. This is real love. Together. Not y'all listening to me read. All of us read. Yeah, there you go. Like you got a mic. Verse 10, let's start. This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. This is real love. This is real love. And here's the wonderful thing about the love of God. Number one, it is initiated by God. Number two, it is a love that can never be lost. It is a love that will never be diminished. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore. God loves you, and he loves you just like you are. He doesn't require you to be anything other than who you are. I went to a attorney's house, and she had this painting, drawing, a sketch in her house, and it was of a woman, old black woman, kind of an old mammy figure, right? She's overweight, you know, no undergarments, house shoes. She's sitting there, rag on her head, and she's just sitting there, right? And the person drew it. And I said, wow, I said, that's an interesting sketch. I said, what does that mean? She says, Pastor, she says, you know, women, we spend so much time pretending to be something. We got stuff nipped and tucked and hidden, and makeup and hair and all that stuff. That woman represents for me just being who you are naturally. And I want to find a man to love me just like that. And I was thinking to myself, but if all he sees is what you present, then you might get sued for false advertising, you know? God can meet your need for love. Look at B. God can meet your need to belong. God can meet your need to belong. Verse 11, John chapter 1, he came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 together, or verse 19. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. You belong. You are part of the family of God. So, you all, I went to an all-white school, PWI. We didn't have fraternities or sororities. Well, we had one fraternity, and it was Delta Epsilon, DU. It was a white fraternity, and they just drank a lot of beer. So I didn't fit in and qualify for either category, right? And I graduated, and I've had people approach me and say, hey, you know, right, you want to be part of a fraternity, Pastor, man, we need to bring you in on grad chapter, you know. And there were a couple of things. One, I didn't have the opportunity, but the other thing was, you know, my last name is Cofield. And I got enough whippings from the man whose name I carry. Now, I don't need another whipping to be part of no group. Nowhere. I'm good. Me, fi, me all day. I'm not mad at anybody else. I'm just saying for me and my house, this is where I am, right? And what helped me get there, even later in life, was a professor that I had by the name of Bill Lawrence. Bill Lawrence taught a class called Spiritual Life and Formation at Dallas Seminary my first semester there. Bill Lawrence, God used that man to change my life, save my life. Because Bill Lawrence taught our class to put our hope, our faith, and watch this, our identity in nothing else other than who we are in Jesus Christ. In other words, don't put your identity in what you drive and what you live in and what you acquire and who you marry. Your identity needs to be in who you are in Christ because you are part of the family of God. And so my wife would say sometimes, she said, man, you walk in a room sometimes like you own the room. I own the room. I just know who I am in Christ. I don't live for people's approval because I'll die from their rejection. Your opinion of me is none of my business. That's why I don't even respond to people when they say, they talked about you. I don't care. Because if I care, that means that their opinion matters to me. And if their opinion doesn't matter, I'm not going to waste the energy or time to even care or find out what they think. Somebody take that and live by that. That'll bless your life forever. Here's C. God can meet your need for value and purpose. God can meet your need for value and purpose. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 says, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. You are valuable because you have been created in the image of God. And the Bible says, if God cares about the sparrows, why would you question whether or not he cares about you? Now, other people may try to devalue you in part because they don't value themselves. And so they want to devalue you so you can have the same value that they perceive in themselves. But when you recognize that you are created in the image of God, you are the imago Dei. You are created in God's image. Fearfully and wonderfully you've been made. And God has purpose for your life. Do you know we've seen men and women who have professed to be atheists who have given their lives to the Lord in this ministry because they have seen and experienced God's purpose for their life and living. Look at D. God can give you peace despite what you're going through. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus says, "I give you a peace that passes all understanding." Here's the mistake that many of us make. We define peace by the absence of confusion, by the absence of conflict, by the absence of chaos. And Jesus says, no, the peace I give you will keep you in the midst of conflict, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of chaos. I can give you a peace that passes all understanding. I was talking to my daughter, and she was talking about how stressed she was. And I said, now you do know that you decide whether you're going to be stressed by something or not. The items that happen, the things that happen in life, you can't control, but you can always control how you respond to them. And nobody can stress you without your permission. I was in the airport. I saw a book titled, "If People Are Driving You Crazy, Take Away the Keys." Because they can't drive you crazy without your permission. My brothers and sisters, life is full of people searching. Some of you in here are searching. Some of you are searching consciously. Some of you are searching unconsciously or subconsciously. You're searching for meaning. You're searching for purpose. You're searching for love. You're searching for peace. You're searching for direction. And whether you want to admit it or not, your searching thus far has been in vain. Or maybe you found what you was looking for and then you've neglected it because you have forgotten what you should be searching for and where you should be looking. You see, the tragedy is not in looking. There's no tragedy in looking. The tragedy is in looking for the right thing in the wrong place. You are sincerely looking. Your heart is right. You're sincerely looking, but you're sincerely wrong. You're searching with passion and still end up on a dead-end path. Some of you are looking for peace and possessions. You're looking for fulfillment and fame, and you're looking for healing in human hands, but those wells will run dry. And those roads will lead to a dead end. You will never find what you're looking for until you look in the right place and you trust in the right person, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the living water that satisfies. He is the bread of life that fulfills. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the peace that passes all understanding. Everything else will leave you thirsty, tired, and lost. But when you find him, you find what your soul has been craving and longing for all along. You're looking for money, but God wants to give you meaning. You're looking for prosperity, but God wants to give you purpose. You're looking for religion, but God wants to give you a relationship. You're looking for perfection, but God wants to give you acceptance. You're looking for control, but God wants to give you peace. You're looking for a plan, but God wants to give you a promise. You're looking for success, but God wants to give you significance. And when you find Jesus, you'll discover he's been what you've been looking for all along, even when you didn't know that's what you were looking for. So today, stop chasing shadows. Stop digging empty wells. Stop looking in broken places and stop depending on broken people. And look to Jesus. Put your trust in him. Put your faith in him. Today we celebrate the resurrection, and I want you to know he suffered for you. Not only did he suffer for you, he died for you. And thanks be to God, he rose for you with all power in his hands. The power to save, the power to heal, the power to deliver, the power to bless, the power to make a way for you. He died and lives with that power so that that power can help change your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. I pray now, God, that you'll bless everything that has been said. I pray that it's found fertile ground in the hearts and minds of your people today. I pray now, Lord, that as we move to this period of invitation, that those who need you would come to know you. Those who know you would make a commitment to grow in you so that they can experience this power in their lives. We ask you to bless now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.